Right, good morning. You want to turn your Bibles to the book of Proverbs. As we said last week and during the week, we're starting a new series in the book of Proverbs just for over the summer. If you don't know where it is, it's just after the Psalms, towards the middle of the Bible. And it'll be helpful for you to have it in front of you so you can see that what I'm saying is not my own word, but it's the word of God to you this morning. Proverbs chapter 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. To understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching, for they are a graceful garland for your head and pendants for your neck. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait for blood. Let us ambush the innocent without reason. Like Sheol, let us swallow them alive and whole. Like those who go down to the pit, we shall find all precious goods. We shall fill our houses with plunder. Throw in your lot among us. We will all have one purse. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Hold back your foot from their paths. For their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. For in vain is a net spread in the sight of any bird, but these men lie in wait for their own blood. They set an ambush for their own lives. Such are the ways of everyone who is greedy for unjust gain. It takes away the life of its possessors. Wisdom cries aloud in the street. In the market, she raises her voice. At the head of the noisy street, she cries out. At the entrance of the city gate, she speaks. How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing and fools hate knowledge? And let's jump down to verse 32. For the simple are killed by the turning away, and the complacency of fools destroys them. But whoever listens to me will dwell secure and will be at ease without dread of disaster. Amen? Let's just ask for God's help one more time. Dear Lord, would you give us wisdom and understanding this morning, in Jesus' name. Amen. Life is tricky to navigate, isn't it? We live in a fallen world with fallen desires amongst fallen people. And a lot of the decisions that we make just day to day are often just very, very tough, aren't they? Questions like this: how should I raise my children? Should I give my child a smartphone? If they do have a smartphone, how long should they be on the smartphone? How much TV should they have? What school should they go to? Should I homeschool? Should I send them Christian education? Should I send the local school down the road? How should I parent my child going from the early years into teenage years? What should change? Who should I spend my time with during the week? How much time in my week should I spend with my church family? How much time should I spend with my unbelieving family? Are there friends I need to be more intentional with? Are there friends I need to drop in my life who are not really friends and being very unhelpful to me? How should I speak in that difficult meeting? Should I be firm? Should I be gentle? Should I go for blood? Should I say nothing at all? Where should I live? How close should I live to my local church? Should I move houses? Which area should I live in? What should I spend my time doing? What should I do at the weekends? How should I spend my money? How should I go about sorting out that strained relationship? Do I do what I was doing before? Do I do new things? Where's the wisdom there? How should I respond to my suffering? How should I run my business? How should I conduct my work? How should I relate to my family who are not Christians? Life is tricky, isn't it? Life is tricky. And every day we are making decisions. And so what do we need in all of these situations? We need wisdom. We need wisdom, don't we? We need wisdom from God above. And that's one of the reasons why in the next 9 weeks we're going to spend time in the book of Proverbs. We're going to look specifically at the first 9 chapters of Proverbs. Because this book, Proverbs, alongside Ecclesiastes and the book of Job, are known as wisdom literature. They give us wisdom in how to conduct our lives and our affairs in the fallen world that we live in. And Proverbs particularly focuses on how we can live well in the world that we live in a way that glorifies God. As one person puts it, it's how we can live a life that honors God and brings glory to his name. Now, because it's a new book to us, we have to do a little bit of, we have to ask a few questions about the text this morning, okay? Just because it's new, we need to learn a little bit today about what the book is and what it's all about. So 5 questions for us this morning. We'll look at who wrote this book. What is wisdom? We use that a lot. What is it? Who needs wisdom? Why do we need to get wisdom? And how do I get it? Okay? We'll hopefully move through these things quickly. It's not like 10 minutes at each point. Don't worry. It's moving through these quickly. Okay? So, who wrote the book? Well, you can look in the text. You want to do a bit of fact-finding yourself. Keep yourself awake. Look at the Bible in front of you. Verse 1. What does it say? Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David. Very simply, the book of Proverbs is written by Solomon and later on some other wise sages of that era. Solomon was the son of the greatest king to rule Israel, King David. And towards the beginning of Solomon's reign, after his father died, the Lord came to Solomon and said, I'm going to bestow on you a gift. You can ask for anything you want in the world. And Solomon didn't choose riches, didn't choose a fancy car, didn't choose a nice new house. Solomon chose wisdom. He chose the ability to discern between what is good and what is evil. He chose to ask God to help him to rule the people with justice and fairness and equity and righteousness. And for much of Solomon's reign, he was a good and he was a wise king. 1 Kings 4 tells us that his wisdom surpassed anybody else's wisdom at that time. People would travel in from other parts of the Middle East to come and listen to him. And they would say, he's a wise guy. 1 Kings 6 tells us he built a beautiful temple with wisdom and skill and understanding. It was a beautiful construction, apparently. And 1 Kings also tells us that Solomon's reign was marked by peace and it was marked by prosperity. In other words, Solomon was a wise man. But that's not to say he was a perfect man. His reign as a king had some major flaws, particularly later on in life. He got distracted by foreign gods. He got distracted by foreign women. He got distracted by the riches of this world. In other words, he got sucked into chasing money, sex, and power. And that led to the downfall of his reign as king. And it also shows us that wisdom and humility always go hand in hand. Nevertheless, the book of Proverbs is inspired by the Holy Spirit. It's God's word. It's infallible. And so we need to listen to it. We need to listen to the wisdom that he has. And basically, the book of Proverbs is actually Solomon as king sitting down with his children and saying, this is what the wise life looks like. Learn from me. Imagine a dad getting together all his children and saying, these are the lessons that I've learned in life. This is Solomon doing that. Look at verse 8. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching. This is written by a father to give his children instruction. Listen up, son. Listen up, son. This is what I've learned. This is what God has taught me. Hear, my son, what I'm saying to you. Hear the word of God. So that's the first thing. It's written by Solomon, wise king. Second thing is, what is wisdom? So word we use a lot, but what does that mean? What is wisdom? Well, the word wisdom, I'm going to give you a little bit of Hebrew this morning. The word wisdom is a word called chokmah, H-O-K-M-A. And there's quite a lot that the Bible says about wisdom. Five quick things. Firstly, wisdom is built into the very fabric of God's creation. The Bible tells us that God is wise and that God made the world by his own wisdom. Proverbs 3, verse 19. The Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding, he established the heavens. Psalm 104, verse 24. O Lord, how manifold are your works. In wisdom, you have made them all. What's these verses saying? These verses are saying that wisdom is embedded into the very core of the universe. Things are being made and ordered in a certain way. Think of wisdom like an invisible force that is woven throughout the whole world. And whenever someone's making a good and wise and just decision, they're living in line with God's will for your life and God's way of doing things. However, when someone is not making a good or wise or just decision, they're going against the way that God created the world to be. And this is called folly. Often people come to me and they say, my life's a wreck. My life's a wreck. My life is all over the place. And the reason is often because people are not living in line with the way God created them to be. They're going against God's wisdom, the way God created the world to be. Things like trusting in themselves, taking a bribe, cutting corners at work, speaking rudely, angrily, or rashly to people, cheating on our spouses, envying what other people have, having a quick temper, hanging with people who might lead you down the wrong path, not disciplining your children, being greedy, thinking you know what's best, etc., etc., etc. Ever fall into any of those things before? When you do that, you are following the voice of folly and you're going against the way that God created you to be and you're going against the way that God created the world to be. The Bible would say you're being foolish. Wisdom, on the other hand, helps us to live the good life as God created the world to be. Secondly, wisdom is hard. It's not just embedded into creation, it's also very hard. It says in verse 2, to know wisdom and instruction. Wisdom involves instruction or discipline or training. It involves learning the hard lessons of life. Wisdom is about making tough and difficult decisions every day. Let me be clear, wisdom is not the easy path. Wisdom is often going to look boring. Like, I'm going to pay my taxes on my business, even though it's going to cost me a lot in my profits. I'm going to choose to speak gently and kindly in that meeting, even though everything in me wants to blow up because I want blood right now. I'm going to not spend time with that group at school because I know that they might be cool and they might be popular, but I know they're not going to be teaching me good stuff and they're going to lead me down the wrong path. I'm going to say no to the lusts of my flesh to stay faithful to my spouse. I'm going to work hard even though everyone else is cutting corners at work. I'm going to stand for justice, even though it's going to be unpopular. Wisdom is hard. Wisdom is hard won. Wisdom is not for the faint-hearted. Wisdom is not the easy path. Wisdom is built into creation. It's the hard path. It's also about decision, thirdly. It's about choosing, discerning between what is good and what is evil. The second half of verse 2 says, to understand words of insight. That word insight is important when it comes to wisdom. Wisdom is choosing the best course of action in any and every situation. And this is where wisdom is tricky, because wisdom can change depending on the person you're speaking to and the context that you find yourself in. Let me give you an example from the book of Proverbs. If you've got a Bible, go to Proverbs chapter 26. Proverbs 26. Some Bibles up here if you haven't got one, go and grab one. Proverbs 26, verse 4 says this. Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest you be like him yourself. The next verse, answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes. So verse 4 says, don't answer the fool, because you might become caught up in a controversy. And then verse 5 says, answer a fool. Which one is it? Do I answer him or do not answer him? Well, it depends on the context, doesn't it? It depends on the situation. If someone's spouting a load of nonsense about conspiracy theories and controversies, then it's best not to get involved, because you might become like them. Get off the internet, get off those chats, and come back to the real world. Because otherwise you'll become a conspiracy theorist and not live in the real world yourself. But if someone's speaking badly about the Bible and getting proud about it at work, then it's probably best to correct them. You don't want them to go into hell because they don't know the truth about the Bible. Do you see? It's different depending on the context. Sometimes you answer the fool and sometimes you don't answer the fool. It really depends. And most of life is not black and white, is it? It's complicated. It deals with the gray areas of life. And that's why we need wisdom. We need insights. Fourthly, wisdom is about godliness. It's about receiving wise instruction and acting in justice and righteousness and equity. That's verse 3. It's about listening to God's voice and seeking to live God's way. It's about doing what is right. It's about doing what is just. It's about doing what is fair in life. Why? Because that is our God. God is righteous and just, and he is fair. Wisdom is not just about knowing stuff about the world. It's not about being good at pub quizzes. It's not about being good at school primarily. It's about conforming your will to the will of God. And finally, wisdom involves skill. Do you see that in verse 4? It says to give prudence to the simple. What does prudence mean? It means to live a skillful life. A wise person is someone who knows how life works and is skilled at making wise decisions. It's that old saying, they've learned the ropes, if you like. Think about it this way. In the book of Exodus, the word chokmah, which is for wisdom, is used to describe the craftsman who made the tabernacle. And when they look at the tabernacle, it was made with skill. It was made with beauty. It was made with wisdom. In a similar way, the person who is wise is skilled at life. They make life beautiful in the way that they act and in the way they speak and the way that they bless others. They live a skillful life that glorifies God, that honors others, and also brings prosperity to their own home. So you want to bring it all together. Wisdom is built into the fabric of creation, and it's about living in this world of insight and shrewdness and godliness and skill. That takes us to the next question. Who needs wisdom? Who needs wisdom? I think you can answer this one yourself. Who needs wisdom? Me. All of us. Everyone. We all need wisdom. And the amazing thing about the Bible is that everyone can get wisdom. The Lord Jesus has opened up the way for you to know God the Father through the Son and the Holy Spirit so that you can get wisdom yourself. And you can ask for it freely anytime. James 1, verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, ask God. If you need wisdom in something, you can go to God himself. We all need it. The book of Proverbs gives us a couple of categories. It says, the simple need wisdom, verse 4. Now, that's not someone who is simple-minded, as we might say today. It's not someone who struggles at school. But it means those who are young in the faith, who don't know God's word well. They need wisdom. Maybe you're a new Christian. Your family's not believers. What do you need? Wisdom. Verse 4 also says the young need wisdom. This is where the young need to really hone in now. If you're young, if you're under 18, I'm going to count you as young this morning. If you're under 18, listen up. This book is written for you. This book was written for you guys to listen and understand. The young need wisdom. Why do you need wisdom? You need wisdom because you think you know better than everybody else. Particularly teenagers. Mom, dad, you're so embarrassing. That's not how the world works anymore. Have you not seen what's happening on TikTok and Instagram and Snapchat? And then you hear your mum and dad say, it wasn't like that in my day. What do young people need? They need wisdom. Because they don't know better than generations. The same mistakes happen generation to generation. And you don't know better than your parents. You think you do, but you don't. And because when you're young, you can make foolish decisions. You make rash decisions. We're not always helpful or wise in the company that we keep. We don't always live for eternal things. We live for the moment. And when we're cocky and when we're proud, we tend to make rash and ungodly decisions. That's why you kids need wisdom. Wisdom from God, wisdom from the Word, wisdom from your parents. It's not just the simple and the young that need wisdom. The wise need wisdom as well. Do you see that? Verse 5. Let the wise hear and increase in wisdom. Maybe you've been a Christian for a very long time. Or maybe you're in a position of leadership or responsibility. What do you need in those areas? You need wisdom. You never outgrow your need for wisdom. In fact, one of the signs that you've met someone who is wise is that they keep asking questions and they keep seeking to learn more from God's words. They don't pretend like they know it all. The wisest people you know will be the most humble people, and you won't even know that they're wise because they don't pretend like they are. A wise person is constantly in the Word and constantly on their knees and constantly seeking to learn from other people. If you think you can do life by yourself, you're no longer wise, even if you've been a Christian for 40 years. We all need wisdom. You never arrive in the Christian life. Never, ever. We need wisdom to honor the Lord. We need wisdom in position of responsibility. We need wisdom in our family. We need wisdom with our children. We need wisdom at work. We need wisdom to love our neighbor. We need our wisdom to stay out of trouble. We need wisdom to prosper. We need wisdom to live the good life. We need wisdom. We need wisdom. Why do we particularly need wisdom? Well, the rest of chapter 1 tells us, because there's another voice out there. You had the voice of wisdom, and out there you also had the voice of folly. You have the voice of foolishness. And again, that's why Solomon's writing this book to his son. He's saying, there's another voice out there you need to watch out for. And you need to watch out for it because it looks enticing. It looks enticing and it will grab you in. In verses 8 to the end of the chapter, Solomon imagines this scene where a gang are trying to entice a young man to join them. And the gang says to them, come and join us. And we'll ambush that guy who's rich, we'll take his money, you'll have protection, and you'll be at ease. And the young man's like, oh yeah, I'll join that gang, that sounds amazing. And he jumps in, 2 feet, and later on it bites him in the backside. That's my Andy version. It actually says that in Proverbs. But that's what happens. Folly is this voice It's easy. It's quick. Just do it. But Solomon says it leads to death. It looks appealing, but it leads to death. And we'll see this again and again in these first nine chapters. An affair looks appealing, doesn't it? When things are not good at home and you're struggling with your own lusts, affairs look amazing. But it leads to the destruction of that home. That first hit of drugs, I've had this conversation with so many people, that first hit of drugs, it's like a warm hug. It was amazing, that first hit of drugs. I felt good, I felt free. But it leads to slavery. The easy money, again, it feels good in the moment. You can chill out, you can cut corners. It means, you know, you have a week free. But it catches up to you eventually with debts, and etc. Impulsive behavior feels good in the moment. I'll take that drink, I'll take that drug, I'll do this, I'll do that. But it leads to irrational and foolish actions. Winning an argument in the moment feels good, doesn't it? You got one up on the other person. But it leads to relationships being frayed and broken. Foolishness, the Bible says, leads to death. It leads to destruction. So one person writes, the fool lacks wisdom. He won't learn. He's self-focused. He's angry. And it leads to destruction. But the way of wisdom leads to life. Verse 33, whoever listens to me will dwell secure, will be at ease without dread of destruction. It's like those old cartoons. You remember those old cartoons? I don't know if you still do it because I don't watch cartoons anymore, but I'm thinking about The Simpsons. I don't even know that's out anymore, but Homer Simpson would be sitting there and he's got a donut in front of him and he has a little good angel and the little evil angel on the other side, and the good angel's saying, don't eat it, you're getting fatter and fatter. And the other angel's saying, oh, eat it, just have it, it's tasty. And he goes for the donut, doesn't he? Well, that's a bit like the book of Proverbs. You've got the voice of wisdom and you've got the voice of foolishness. Foolishness leads to death. Wisdom leads to life. Not to say it's easy. It's making difficult decisions. Like I said, wisdom is hard won, but it eventually leads to prosperity, leads to peace, it leads to joy. Now, I say generally there because sometimes we're going to live the good life and we're going to live the wise life, and persecution is going to come our way and suffering. If you want to find out about that, read Ecclesiastes and read Job. That's not for today. But in general, the Bible says when we live the wise life, things go well with us. We dwell secure in God's hands. And so you have a choice today. Choice today. Will I listen to folly in the decisions I'm making, or will I listen to wisdom? Wisdom is crying out to you. You see that in verse 20. It cries out. There's this lady, wisdom. Wisdom cries out to you. Follow me. Follow this wise way. It brings life. So lastly, very briefly, how do I become wise? Verse 7 is right there. Verse 7 is how you become wise. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Wisdom flows from fearing the Lord. What does it mean to fear the Lord? Fear means that we respect him and we love him and we treasure him and we bow before him. It's a mixture of trembling and trusting. Trembling before him because he's an awesome God, and trusting him as our great friend who is wiser than we are. It's not being scared of God like we get in the dark and when we're all alone. It's a deep respect for the Lord. It's a deep reverence for him. Think about the sea. The sea is great, isn't it, on a sunny day? Beautiful to sit, not Portobello, but other beaches where there's no junk coming in and pollution. No, that's not nice to play there, but think Gullum Beach. Beautiful to play on a nice calm day. Splash around. Friendly, but you don't mess with the sea, do you? Particularly not on a stormy day, because that rip tide will take you out and you'll be gone forever. We respect the sea, don't we? Because it's more powerful than us, it's more majestic than us, it's mightier than we are. That's what we need to remember with God. Yes, he's gracious. Yes, he's loving. Yes, he's faithful. Yes, he's merciful. But God is majestic. He's powerful. He's righteous. He's the holy, sovereign creator of the universe. And when you remember that, you are a finite, lowly creature, that we don't make the rules, that we don't pull the strings, that we don't call the shots. When you bow down and worship the Lord, then you'll have wisdom. When you stand in awe of him, when you humbly obey him, when you deeply respect him, you will grow exponentially in wisdom. And that will help you conduct your life, conduct your affairs, conduct all of what you do. But here's the thing as we end, the good news. How often do we listen to the voice of folly, don't we? How often do we know there's wisdom here and yet we're just foolish? We fly off the handle when we know we should be gentle. We cut corners when we know we should work hard. We don't discipline our children when we know we should, etc., etc. So many things where we're so foolish. We trust in ourselves when we should be trusting in the Lord. We're proud when we should be humble. But here's the hope. John 1 says this, that Jesus Christ came with grace and truth. See, Jesus is the man of wisdom. He is wisdom in the flesh. He's wisdom, if you want to use the fancy word, personified. And he's full of grace and truth. Grace towards the foolish and truth to make us wise. Maybe you've been really foolish this week. You've put your foot in it again. You've made some foolish decisions. You've been all over the place. You've done things you shouldn't have done. The Bible says, come to Jesus again. Come to Jesus and receive grace and truth. Maybe you're a new Christian this morning and just muddling through. Come to Jesus. Receive grace and truth. Maybe you're struggling just in life. You're a seasoned Christian. Maybe you're really making difficult decisions at that moment. You don't know how to respond. Come to Jesus, receive grace and receive truth. And rest secure in his wisdom, his infinite wisdom, and his abounding love. Amen. May God help us.